91.3 KXCI Tucson. Real people, real radio.
Good afternoon, Tucson. Thanks for joining us today at 91.3 KXCI, Tucson's community radio, where we have real people and real radio. This is Aspen Green with my co-host, Kathy Harris, and we're bringing you Broad Perspectives Radio, a program by women, about women, but for everyone. You can learn more on our Broad Perspectives Radio page at kxci.org. Today's show is of great interest to me, and I'm sure it will be to you as well. We have with us Kathy Altman to talk about the International Uranium Film Festival, IUFF, coming to Tucson. Uranium mining is an environmental health risk close to the hearts of the Diné Navajo people in our state, as well as folks all over the world. I'm looking forward to learning more about what is being presented. I bet you are too, Kathy.
Oh, I can't tell you how much. I'm so delighted to have Kathy Altman here. Kathy is a longtime peace activist, swimmer, retired healthcare worker, queer activist back in the day, and nowadays an artist, baker, and a perennial voracious reader. I can relate to that. Kathy is also involved for the second time now with bringing the International Uranium Film Festival, or the IUFF, to Tucson, which will be here on March 12th and 13th at the Screening Room. We're looking forward to hearing what these films are about. Kathy, welcome to Broad Perspectives.
Thank you for having me.
We're so happy that you could be with us today. But let's just start by asking you, how did you get involved with the issue of nuclear power to begin with?
Well, that's a good story. Actually, way back many years ago, 1979 to be precise, I was a newly minted physician assistant and waiting to go to work on my nighttime shift in an emergency room in West Philadelphia. And Three Mile Island melted down that day. Three Mile Island was about 100 miles away from where I lived and worked. And I thought, well, what do we do about a lot of people exposed to radiation should that happen? And I realized it was never covered in my education. I had no idea what that was going to be like and no idea what to do. Just tell people to take a shower. I mean, as children, we got underneath desks to deal with nuclear radiation. So I knew that was foolish. So that began my inquiry and curiosity.
Okay, well, that is an interesting story, and it all started so long ago, like 40 years ago, and I remember when Three Mile Island melted down. Since then, have you been regularly involved in nuclear power issues?
Well, I have been, and mostly on the nuclear weapons side, because being a healthcare worker, I realized there was really no cure for nuclear weapons once they go off, and it was only prevention. So I got interested in the nuclear weapons side fairly early on and have intermittently been a bit active.
Okay, great. And how did you get involved with the IUFF, or the International Uranium Film Festival? How did that happen?
Well, my co-activist friends here in town from the Nuclear Resistor asked me a few years ago if I was interested in helping bring the IUFF to town. And I said, yes, of course. I love movies. So the International Uranium Film Festival, which has been in existence since the early 00s out of Rio de Janeiro, Brazil, was doing a U.S. tour in 2018. And they were starting in Window Rock, Arizona, as a tribute to the Navajo, the Diné, who were many of whom were miners of uranium and has to respect that early exposure. And the Uranium Film Festival was starting there and doing a U.S. tour. So they came to Tucson for their first time in 2018, and that was their second U.S. tour. And to this coming in another 2 weeks is March 12th, 13th, is their third U.S. tour, again, starting in Window Rock. And Tucson is their second stop. So we're very delighted to help host them and bring some of their films here.
Yeah, it's great. And do you know, how did the IUFF start? Was there
a
particular
event?
Well,
that's another wonderful story. So the people in Brazil, Norbert and Marcia. Norbert is originally a German citizen and Marcia is Brazilian. They live in Rio, and one of them as an anthropologist, the other as a filmmaker, were very interested in uranium themselves, and they had a very international perspective. So they put together the first film festival of the IUFF in the 07-08 era, I think, and it was in Rio. And it was just a great success there. And so they were able to put together many, many films. It's astonishing how many people make films related to the uranium issue, whether it's mining, extraction, the health effects, weaponry, the testing, the diplomacy, the politics. And it's just an amazing diversity of topics related to this one little mineral, you know, that comes out of our earth.
Okay, that is fascinating. And you're right, it's a huge, huge topic. There's so many things we could talk about. We won't have time to talk about them all. But tell us about the film festival this year that's coming on March 12th and 13th. What films are they going to be shown and what are they about? And will there also be speakers? What does this festival look like?
Sure. Well, here in Tucson, we're able to show three films, three regular length documentaries. The first one on Tuesday afternoon is Radioactive, The Women of 3 Mile Island. That film was just released in late 2023. It was made by Heidi Huttner out of SUNY Stony Brook. And she made the film interviewing and about the stories of the women who became the health activists because of their and their families' exposure to 3 Mile Island. What they knew from the power plant, what they didn't know, what they learned as health changed in their families. I'm very interested in seeing the film, and I very much look forward to that one because that was also my initial entree into the whole issue. So Radioactive, The Women of 3 Mile Island is on that Tuesday afternoon. And then on Tuesday evening, we're showing another film that's very germane to the topic. This one is called Downwind. Film made by Mark Shapiro out of Portland, Oregon. And he makes a documentary about the downwinders who live off or near to the Nevada test site. So Nevada test site is where much of the bomb testing the U.S. did for years until above ground nuclear testing was banned worldwide. And much of that happened in the Nevada range. It's outside of Las Vegas, big empty desert where quote unquote, nobody lives, except the Shoshone people live there. Many Utah people lived downwind. And what Mark did in his film is interview and take a look at the downwinders. And again, their issues with long-term health effects, environmental effects, et cetera, that happened downwind. That I think will be really fascinating. One of the odd things that was just serendipitous, but it's so typical to me of Tucson, as I was organizing the film festival, I got a phone call from a fellow who's an attorney here in town. Turns out his firm, he's the lead attorney on taking the downwinders cases. So he knows all about the downwinders in Utah. And he said, how can I get tickets? I need to take so many people to see the film. So I'm really delighted that, you know, about these serendipitous connections that happen in Tucson often. So Downwind is that film. And Mark Shapiro, the filmmaker, is also coming into town. He's flying in and he'll be, you know, giving a little talk, take some questions and answers after his film on Tuesday evening. So that's very exciting. And the third film is just wonderful. It's called Demon Mineral, and it's made by Hadley Austin, a Diné filmmaker. I'm not sure if he's going to be in town or not. That's still a little unclear to me. But he made this wonderful film, again, from the Diné perspective, basically being that leaving it in the ground would have been the best option. He talks about that a lot. Many of the people who he interviews and who will be on the film are from the Benali family. Clay Benali is the graphic designer whose artwork is on the posters for the film and will be on the T-shirts that will be there for sale. And Clee was a wonderful activist. I've heard so many good things about him. And he unfortunately just passed away at the end of 2023. So we will dedicate our energies to him. Many people speak so highly of his activism. But that film, Demon Mineral, from the Diné perspective, I'm very much interested in seeing too. So that takes us sort of full circle on some of the uranium issues for Arizona, although not all the uranium issues for Arizona. There are even more, but these three films are the ones that we have time to show.
That sounds really fascinating. And I'm wondering, if I were to go to see these films, I'm sure there will be a lot of questions after each one. Is there going to be a Q&A session? Do you know?
There will be after on Tuesday night and on Wednesday afternoon, there'll be a Q&A. Yes.
Okay, great to know. I'm curious, who are the sponsors that are bringing this festival in?
Oh, terrific question. We have a lovely peace community and interconnected community here. So the sponsors include Nuclear Resistor, which has done documentation of nonviolent civil disobedience on the nuclear issue for 40 plus years. And they are headquartered here in Tucson. Also, Arizona Physicians for Social Responsibility, PSR, or Physicians for Social Responsibility, has long been active on the nuclear issue from the health problem point of view, as well as environmental issues. In fact, PSR in 1985 won a Nobel Peace Prize for their work at that time on this issue. And then again, their parent organization, IPPNW, International Physicians for the Prevention of Nuclear War, won a Nobel Peace Prize for the temporary work on the treaties. Arizona PSR is a sponsor. Third sponsor is Women's International League for Peace and Freedom, the Tucson chapter. You may know them from the Raging Grannies. They're just a delightful group of women in town. And our fourth co-sponsor is the Tucson Peace Center, which has been just also, like KXCI, instrumental in getting the word out.
That's really interesting to know who's sponsoring it. And I did not know the Raging Grannies were part of that group. That's very interesting.
Yeah, they're kind of cute.
Okay, well, we want to switch to the topic of nuclear weapons. But before we do that, I think it's a good time to take a music break because we have a very appropriate song. Aspen, what are we going to hear?
The song for today's Come Away, Melinda. And it's sung by Judy Collins. Come Away, Melinda is a song written by Fred Hellerman, and he was an original member of the Weavers, and Fran Minkoff. An anti-war song, which was written to show the effect of war on one person, was released by Harry Belafonte in May 1963. Also in 1963, and I love this, The Big Three, which was a folk group, which had Cass Elliot before the Mamas and Papas was formed. And they recorded this song on their first album. The song was subsequently recorded by many other singers, such as the Weavers, Theodore Bickel, Bobby Gentry, and Uriah Heep, just to name a few. Judy Collins released her version of the song in March of 1964. Come Away, Melinda is a touching portrayal of a child grappling with the complexities of war and its effects on innocence, family, and a longing for a peaceful past. The song stands as a reminder of the lasting effects of conflicts and the importance of cherishing and protecting moments of harmony. So let's listen to Come Away, Melinda by Judy Collins off her LP, Judy Collins, number 3. I listened to many versions of that song because it's such a wonderful song. And Judy did such a beautiful job expressing the melancholy of this anti-war song. 91.3 KXCI Tucson. I'm Aspen Green. I'm here with Kathy Harris, and we're returning to our interview with Kathy Altman.
Yes, we are. And that was a beautiful song. It really kind of hit me in the gut when I first heard it. Kathy, from your perspective, do you think there's more interest generated lately in nuclear weapons since the war in Ukraine and other hotspots in the world?
Oh, that's a great question. Well, yes, I do. And I actually think the interest in nuclear weapons has been sparked by the film Oppenheimer. You know, again, a film and art open our eyes to the realities of, you know, other aspects of human behavior. And I think Oppenheimer has been instrumental in bringing the question up. But it certainly is germane to conflicts in Ukraine, conflicts in Gaza, et cetera, you know, and other places around the world, too.
And I'm wondering, from your perspective, what do you see as the biggest issues you would like people to be aware of about nuclear weapons?
Well, I think the biggest issue people need to know about nuclear weapons is that we do, as people, still have a democracy, and we still really can bug our electeds to make some actions about signing on to the treaty on the prohibition of nuclear weapons and just ending the building, the use, the thought, the stockpiling, the exposures, et cetera, of nuclear weapons. I mean, humans made them and humans are going to need to be the ones to undo them. their devastation is so sublimely horrible that we have to come out of being totally numb a little bit and bother our electeds to do the right thing.
Okay, and you mentioned the 2021 UN Treaty on the Prohibition of Nuclear Weapons. Tell us about that. What's that about? You think we should sign on to it?
It's a terrific treaty. I mean, in that, the way it came about, many treaties to help control nukes have been signed and used. For instance, the Non-Proliferation Treaty, which sounds very similar, did get the total number of nuclear weapons cut in half over its 15, 30-year span. And that was a great accomplishment. But half is still not good enough. Zero is the only number that's good enough. But cutting it in half was a great boon. The problem was, while the number of weapons went down to approximately 15,000 in the world, almost all of them are much larger and capable of horrific destruction than the bombs used in Hiroshima and Nagasaki. And not just one or two countries have nuclear bombs, but nine countries now have. So the number got cut down, but not the number of states and not their worldwide availability, nor their power. So I think, but that's one of the things about nuclear weaponry that I think would be very helpful for us to think a tiny bit about and recognize that we need to get to total abolition. The treaty entered into force in 2021 is just a terrific work of international diplomacy. Sometime in the late 00s, much of the rest of the world, not the nine nuclear weapons holding countries, but all the other 100 and somethings countries, got together and wanted to do yet another treaty on the total abolition of nuclear weapons, and they did. So they worked on this without the nine holding countries. The U.S. was not privy to that process because we have a little less than half of all the weapons in the world are U.S. weapons. And the other countries got together and said, okay, we want total abolition. You're not getting there with just non-proliferation, so we want a new treaty. And they did. So they got together, and by 2017, they had everybody else on board, and the wordage all worked out. And they began the process of sending it back to individual home countries for ratification. So it was a remarkable process, a just remarkable piece of history to know that in our lifetimes, international diplomacy, though slow and painful, can be successful as compared to, you know, war and raging. Theoretically, should nuclear weapons be used or deployed, a nation could be taken to international court because this treaty has entered into force. So among the wonderful things about it, many of our neighbors to the south, Mexico and all the Central American countries, have already ratified the treaty. They've all signed on. They would love to not have nuclear weapon targets in their country to their north in the U.S., and so they're very eager for us to also get rid of them. And South America countries have also signed on, and African countries, and Asian countries, and the Pacific Island countries. So it's really quite a wonderful panorama of many nations around the world who don't want any nuclear weapons. With that, I think we need to realize that we have lots of comrades and brothers and sisters all over the world who are working for the same goal.
Our own country has not signed on to this. What is your opinion about what keeps us from not signing on to something that would reduce the possibility of our destroying ourselves, not just the U.S., but the other countries who have not signed on to it?
The U.S. hasn't even had a committee hearing in the U.S. Senate. That's where treaties go to get discussed and signed. And no committee has even brought this particular treaty up. Isn't that interesting? We are very much in bed with the military-industrial complex. It is exactly as President Eisenhower in the 50s predicted it would be. There is much money to be made in the military-industrial complex. So greed is one reason why we haven't signed on to the treaty. Always wanting to be top dog in terms of military prowess is another reason. Not solving our immigration issues and recognizing that we really all are citizens of one planet and we have to get ourselves together a bit is another issue. So there's lots of confounders about why the U.S. hasn't signed on. In general, it's also, I think, those of us in the peace movement need to rededicate some energies to bringing this issue to fore again. And that's where the film Oppenheimer and all these others have been such a gift, because we get to talk about it and think about it, what we want, and not have war and war capacity be our default reaction.
Okay, thank you for that. It's your opinion people should write to their legislators and senators?
Let our senators know and our elected representatives in Washington that you'd love the U.S. to consider signing on to the Treaty on the Prohibition of Nuclear Weapons, TPNW.
Okay, and I don't want to leave today without bringing up the topic of uranium. Uranium is used to create nuclear energy, and uranium is mined from the ground. So what are the effects of uranium mining on the miners, and why are Native Americans more susceptible?
Good question. One of the reasons that uranium mining is more harmful for Native populations may be because of the proximity to the uranium itself. Much of the Four Corners area in the U.S. has a lot of uranium ore in it, Colorado, Utah, New Mexico, and Arizona. And so therefore, the mines draw workers from the nearby area, from tribal lands and the nations that are around there, Navajo, Hopi, etc. Therefore, people have more health effects because they have increased exposure. There's also just dust and pollution that happens outside of the mines inadvertently. It's just the nature of mining that it makes more dust. And it's the nature of mining that there will be leaks from the tailing ponds, and that these things affect the water supply. And thus, much of the water supply, even into the Colorado River, the Grand Canyon, has at various times been in jeopardy from leaks from old uranium mines up on the Navajo land. And that's another insidious problem that happens to the environment. I'm very curious to see the film Demon Mineral, because the Navajo have a longstanding tradition among some of them that say, why don't we just leave this thing in the ground? Because when we loosen it and get it out, it's just a demon and a trickster and plays havoc with things in the world. So I'm just curious how they express that. And our respect for traditional knowledge is certainly could use some improvement when it comes to Western science, business, et cetera, prolonged uranium mining.
Yeah, well, that's certainly true enough. You know, we haven't even gotten to nuclear energy, but unfortunately, we are out of time. So before we go, tell us again the dates of the International Uranium Film Festival and where it is and how our audience can learn more about it, and also maybe where they can get more information about nuclear weapons.
Sure. International Uranium Film Festival, Tucson, March 12th and 13th at the Screening Room on West Congress in downtown Tucson. Admission is free, because we know we really want to get these films out there. Donations are accepted to help offset the travel expenses for the people coming from Brazil to bring us the festival. And it'll be a wonderful festival. I'm really looking forward to it. More information can be found right now at KXEI's calendar page, the Tucson Peace Center's calendar, Tucson Weekly calendar, as well as the Screening Room calendar. We'll have the ticket links where you can reserve a seat. Although admission is free, reserving a seat might be important because it's a relatively small theater. If one wants more information, which is just a lifeline, a really good website is ICANW.org, the International Committee for the Abolishment of Nuclear Weapons. And that's an international organization. Great information. They have a list of all the 90 countries who have already ratified the treaty and the other 63 who are signatories and moving it forward towards ratification. So it's just a wealth of information about both the weapons themselves as well as the issues that arise from their existence.
Okay. Kathy, thank you so much for being with us. And I just want to mention to our audience that next week we're going to have Hideko Tamura Snyder on, who was 10 years old in Hiroshima when the bomb dropped. She wrote a book about it, and she's going to tell us about those experiences. So that's pretty related to today. And we hope that we see you again next week to hear about that. But Kathy, thank you so much for being here and sharing all of your knowledge and talking about the International Uranium Film Festival.
Thank you so much.
So yes, we have come to the close of today's show. And yes, thanks, Kathy, for the work you're doing in bringing the film festival to Tucson and helping spread awareness. I just want to say my family lives in Rio, so I'm going to be talking to them about what their possible involvement is. And thanks to all of you out there for being with us today. This is Aspen Green with Kathy Harris on Broad Perspectives Radio. And you can learn more on our Broad Perspectives Radio page at kxci.org. Stick around right now, because next up we have Boom Goddess Radio with Jennifer Davis Page. Enjoy your Sunday, and we'll see you next week.